The word Elohim, as applied to judges, is meant to remind them of their own responsibility to God, who is called Elohim. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 145, Justice, Judges, and the Goodness of God. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us begin today with a story from my family, a story that I heard from my grandfather about my great-great-grandfather, Rabbi Chaim of Brisk, or rather, several stories, a series of stories that connect with one another. As I heard it, once the butcher of the community came before Rabbi Chaim with a question pertaining to one of the animals owned by this butcher. Rabbi Chaim, after considering the question, informed the butcher that the animal was no longer kosher. Though this halachic decision would mean that the butcher would lose a great deal of money, the psak, or religious judgment, was accepted without a murmur. At some point after this episode, the butcher was engaged in litigation with another member of the community in the presence of the Jewish court of Brisk, at whose head sat Rabbi Chaim. Here, too, the decision was not favorable to the butcher, though the amount in question was less than before. This time, however, the butcher exploded, hurling invective after invective upon Rabbi Chaim, until Rabbi Chaim himself erupted, saying, as I remember hearing from my grandfather, in Yiddish, Chutzpenik gareis fin mein heis, which can roughly be translated as, you rude and audacious person, get out of my house. After the butcher had exited, another member of the court, Rabbi Simcha Zelig Rieger, asked Rabbi Chaim why the butcher had been so incensed over a relatively small amount of funds compared to his original question when he had received the decision without complaint. Rabbi Chaim's answer, highlighting deep psychological insight, was essentially that when it came to the first issue, the butcher lost funds, but no one else gained. Here, however, there was a second party. What bothered the butcher was not that he would lose money, but that another had triumphed over him. It was, in other words, envy, not loss, that was at the essence of his anger. Utilizing this anecdote as a lens, we can analyze our mitzvah for the day, which is comprised of three words in Exodus, but very interesting words. They are Elohim lo tekalel, and Elohim you must not curse. Throughout the Bible, the word Elohim is an appellation for the Almighty. It denotes his power and judgment. Yet, in this particular passage, as in those adjacent to it, the word Elohim refers to a court and its members, to the power they wield, to the judgments they issue, to the justice they are supposed to seek. The prohibition here is against erupting and, in anger, cursing a judge. And if a special verse is necessary, even if the Bible, in general, prohibits cursing one's fellow, it is perhaps because Scripture is making manifest the particular temptation in human nature to erupt when another has triumphed in one's stead. Of course, the very fact that judges comprise a court that is called Elohim, a name usually reserved for God, highlights the responsibility of which the jurist is meant to be ever aware. The judge is essentially a representative of God himself, seeking to learn from the law, from the Torah, in order to ensure that justice is done. The word Elohim, as applied to judges, is meant to remind them of their own responsibility to God, who is called Elohim. There is a book titled Antonin Scalia on Faith, Lessons from an American Believer. It contains a series of essays from this famous judge, as well as from others, about the role of religion in Antonin Scalia's life. I am privileged to have a small piece in it. The foreword is written by Scalia's colleague on the court, Justice Clarence Thomas, who reflected on the way in which Scalia's faith ensured that he always considered himself beholden to his oath as a judge. Thomas wrote about Scalia, quote, "He would be violating his oath if he imposed his personal views on others under the guise of a judicial opinion, and he had no inherent or personal right to judge his fellow man. Rather, his only authority was his limited role as an Article III judge, and he had given his word to Almighty God to comport himself consistent with this limited grant of authority. One need only read his opinions, Justice Thomas continued, to see this discipline and restraint. The effort that he put into each opinion was not for personal vanity or aggrandizement. It was not for manufacturing a legacy. Rather, it was because his oath, which rested on the foundation of his faith, required him to give his all. Likewise, he would also violate his oath if he withheld a legitimate judicial opinion that might upset others, even those he loved. He was required to do his absolute best in each case, to be honest with himself and with others, no matter how difficult, no matter if it led to disagreements. In the end, God was watching and would be the final judge, and it was to him alone that he would give an account. To the very end, upholding his oath is precisely what he did. End quote. Now, of course, the context here is different than in a Jewish court, but it is a striking passage. And it is relevant because Judaism and the name that it applies to a court reminds the judges that they are accountable to God. They must take their roles incredibly seriously, just as litigants must see the judges seriously. Reading the introduction to On Faith inspired me to ponder the fact that judges do not take a judicial oath in Jewish law. But that is because, as the Talmud puts it, we are all sworn in at Sinai, and judges are bound by covenant to embody God's justice and fairness. Only then can they be worthy of the term Elohim. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.